I think every one of us know that today is the final day for the Beijing Olympic. Do you know in the history who is or who are or who was the most, you know, successful Olympian? The most impressive one. I think we have more than one in mind, but personally, I have one here. He himself claimed him a Chinese, yet he is a British. He died in China and buried somewhere near your hometown. No, I don't tell you where. His name is Eric Liddell. In Chinese, Li Ai Lei. He spent most of his prime year in China, except his few years in Cambridge University in England. He was the fastest man in the world, 100 meter. And then when the Olympic schedule came up, happened that the Olympic final for the 100 meter is for on Sunday. He refused to run. He said, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to run on Sunday. And then the Olympic organization tried to change another day, but it wasn't successful, so he dropped. And then his coach said that, since you are quite fast, how about you try 400 meter, which he never ran before. And then he won the gold medal in the Olympic in 400 meters. During the past 17 days in China, Beijing Olympic, this book in Chinese already distributed more than 10,000 copies. This one is in English, but if you want to get the Chinese one, you can get it, okay? So if you want to read the English one, you can come to me. We praise the Lord for him. Because of his faith, his work with the Lord, he refused to run on Sunday. Today, some Christian was tempted not to go to church because they want to watch the Olympic on the television. Eric Liddell is my hero. Okay, today I want to share with you, you know, a very brief verse in the Bible. John chapter 11, verse 35. Last week, in the bulletin, announced they saying that if everyone can read once John chapter 11, then probably you get some idea. This is considered one of the most, you know, the shortest verse in the Bible. Can you say without looking at the Bible? Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Jesus wept. Why? Why? Let us start off with a video show, 10 minutes video show. And then if you don't cry, then Jesus cries. So hopefully this video show will touch your heart. Light off, please.
Of all that is, there was you, God. underway. Light and energy, gravity, synchronicity, orbits and galaxies, comets hurtling down galactic highways, a space-time ballet, 1,000 years but a day, a brand new planet, hot with the fires of creation, life under construction, cells, replication, DNA code, embedded commands of how to grow, make yourself at home, woman and man, walk the length of the land, scale the mountains, run the rivers, drink from the springs, let your free will wander down the pathways of this garden called Eden. But wait. Have I got this straight? We gave it all away. We traded it away. In a strange transaction. The forging of the first weapons, the spilling of first blood, the trampling and trashing of paradise, blowing the gift to pieces with a bang! So now the need for intensive care, so now the rainforest are stripped bare, so now the cities give birth to slums, so now the rifles and suitcase bombs. Why? Why is a promise in life ripped away just when it catches stride and runs free? Tanks rattle and pound, soldiers get cut down, never getting to say goodbye. Kids sleeping out in the cold, spreading out their mats on the side of the road, down in the dust, unable to trust or try, with no tears left to cry. Why? How did it feel, God, when you walked this cracked shell of a planet, cried like a broken-hearted child, the perfection of what was supposed to be? Up against the brutality of our reality. Says you gave up your life, your flesh, and your blood for love. And as the story goes, you're still reaching. You watch over the grieving. You capture every sigh. You measure the space between every heartbeat. And there's a promise that winds its way through every weathered page. A feast for the hungry, the delivery of the captives, healing for the desolate, the final satisfaction of justice, making all things new. Hope in the clinics where the sick hold on. Hope in the schools and the holding cells. It echoes in the halls of the hospitals. Hope rises up in the cities and the war zones. Hope in the courtroom and in the broken home. In the seminaries and the cyber highways. In the alleys of the homeless and the hungry. In the shack settlements and the compounds. On the farms where the soil is hard and dry. In the streets where the grieving mothers cry. Where the AIDS orphans stare up at the stars. Where the captives pound on the cell walls. Through the coal mine towns and the factories. In the ghettos and the prisons and the cemeteries. So where is it? I don't see it. I don't get it. The fulfillment of the promise. I don't see it down here remain in the depth of this pain. I don't see it. The earth is groaning night and day. A song of human slavery, of dark disease and poverty, of children in captivity. God, that's the sound that comes to me. Are you still far away on high? Still staring out at that empty sky? Still reaching out with that longing hand? I hear no voice and I don't understand. I know about theology. I know you gave your son for me. I know you're wrapped in mystery. I get invisibility, but I still see their misery. I hear their voices haunting me, saying, who will come and set us free? Who will come and set us free? Who will come and set us free?
Here am I. Send me.
Here am I. Send
Aquí
me.
Estoy yo. Envíame a
mí.
Dímene.
Still
am
I. Đây, con đây. Hãy sai, con đi.
Here am I.
Là bệnh.
Here am I. Bắt đầu, đến mẹ kì.
Quá chị cha, sẵn quá.
Dạ.
Chị lúc sẵn, mình đi. Quá hẹn đầu.
Bắt đầu về, hả? Đi hả? Đi
hả? Anh ạ. Here am I. Send me.
Lights on, please. Why Jesus wept? Just look at the video. God loved us and he created a beautiful world for us. And what happened now? Why there are so much suffering? What happened? Brothers and sisters, I think the main answer raised in John chapter 11. Why I say we can find it in John chapter 11. Brothers and sisters, when people cry to God in verse 2, Mary and his sister Martha, they send people to Jesus saying that, Jesus, the one you love is sick. They prayed. God heard it. Jesus heard the message, the prayer. The problem here is human beings tend to think what they want God to do for them. Yet, our Lord Jesus has another plan. He has another answer. God wants Christians to learn how to know him and ask according to his will, not to our will. The desire, the prayer, the plea from these sisters, they want Jesus to come immediately and heal their brother. It's not necessarily a wrong kind of prayer. But because they expect Jesus to answer according to their prayer in detail. When Jesus didn't follow their instruction, they sat down with thousands of questions. What now? What now? So they came to a conclusion in verse 17. Sorry, it's in verse 12. More than once, both Martha and Mary say the same thing. If, for so long already, we try to be a Christian that will benefit from God in a way that when we ask, He answers according to our prayer. Brothers and sisters, how much do we know our Lord? It's not that what Jesus answered to our prayer count is the real relationship that we have with Jesus Christ counts. If we are very close to our Lord, His blessing will never cease. If we count on how much God answered my prayer, you say last week I prayed, He didn't answer. Last year I prayed, He didn't answer. Do you realize what happened? In verse 4, Jesus heard this and He said, this sickness will not end in death. And yet Lazarus died physically. I'm afraid we as Christians will never actually learn well enough to tune our channel in the right way to receive the message from God clearly. While we were in Africa, I have a lot of trouble to adjust to the radio channel to listen to BBC, to ABC, to whatever. The reception was not good. But nowadays, you have digital. You just turn on a number, correct, and you receive it very clearly. What am I saying here? When Christians pray and God answers, but it's not in the same channel, and we lost it. We didn't get it. We thought God never answered. God never listened. God never cared. So in our heart, we start asking questions. Why? If? 1,000 questions. 1,000 questions. Just look at how many Christians we walk away from Lord because we feel like, yeah, I'm a Christian. But where is God? Where is God? Did God really listen to me? He cares? We start a lot of questions. A lot of questions. So brother and sister, why did Jesus wept? In chapter 11 here, not because of his inability, not because of his, you know, he misunderstood something or he unexpected something happened and then happened so that he hurt his heart or, you know, he can't do anything about it. No. In this chapter, the main thing is not about his creation. The main thing is about those people who follow him, those people who doesn't know him, who don't know him. Those people who follow him, what happened to them? In the Bible, only twice talk about Jesus wept. One is in Luke, in the outline there. In Luke chapter 6, chapter 19, verse 14. When Jesus approached Jerusalem, he wept. What did he say? He said that, you know, only if you knew on this day what would bring you peace. The desire of our Lord Jesus Christ is bring peace to us. And yet those people follow Jesus end up with a lot of questions, a lot of suffering, a lot of misunderstanding. They don't really know where to follow, how to follow Jesus. So when Jesus, you know, come to them, and they say, if you are here a little bit earlier, only if you answer my prayer according to what I prayed the other day, only if, then my problem will be solved. Then I will hope, I have hope. But Jesus, our Lord, he knows what is the best for us. He has his own plan, his own timing, his own way to answer our prayer. How many Christians lost faith, walk away from our Lord because we feel like God is not listening to our prayer? Being a Christian is not counting how many times Jesus listened to our prayer. Being Christian is learning how to follow Jesus, team up with Jesus, and receive the same channel. Then you will see how God, you know, will work in our life. This is so important. If we are not careful, if we don't learn well how to work with the Lord, we'll become very secular Christian. Do you know what secular Christian means? I just read a very brief, you know, news in this World magazine. This is a Christian magazine. One man in Chicago, he sued for $1 million. Sue what? Sue the Bible. He said that I have been practicing homosexual for years, and every time the Bible just kind of deny me. The Bible just kind of push me off. The Bible is not friendly enough. This is against the human right. So he sued the Bible to the court, saying that get rid of the book. Do you know what? He has Christian background. He practiced prayer, occasionally go to church. I'm afraid that if we are not learning how to follow Jesus Christ, we become religion believer. Religion believer, we are used to go to church. We are used to open up the Bible and read a few verses. We are used to pray before lunch or dinner or in a special occasion. We are used to the ritual, and we are not sure who are we following. So many people in Europe, you ask them, are you Christian? Yes. So many people in North America, you ask them, are you Christian? Yes. But are they? So please, brother and sister, in my series of preaching in the Chinese side, I preach on knowing Jesus. Please, knowing Jesus is not through ritual activities. Knowing Jesus is through our close relationship, close walk with our Lord. Only then we can see what Jesus sees. We can hear what Jesus intends for us. 1,000 questions. Where can we get the answer? This is the Father's word. And now what? Everything falls apart. Can we fix it? Can God do it? Brother and sister, Jesus wept because even his best friends, Mary, sitting in front of his foot, listened to him, you know, willing to sacrifice his ointment. You know, his, you know, her almond just, you know, break the bottle and pour on Jesus' feet. She is willing to do everything. She is considered one of the most close friend of Jesus, that even his disciple didn't know that Jesus is going to die, yet Mary knew. And when Mary said, only if, that really hurt Jesus. Because even Mary hasn't teamed up the right channel to know that the hope is in Jesus. So when Jesus asked them, you know, when Jesus asked them, when they arrived the tomb, take away the stone, chapter 11, verse 38, they were surprised. They were stunned. What are you doing? Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Take away the stone. He must be, you know, must be had a bad odor. And 4 days already. Brothers and sisters, to our Lord Jesus, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. We need to believe that. And another thing is, and Jesus say, you know, Lazarus, come up. When he asked Lazarus to come out from the tomb, and the dead man came up, and Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Let him go. Let his people go. Let his follower go. Let his believer go. Are we following the Lord and yet we are bound by all kinds of worldly things? Are we following our Lord and yet we are kind of dead believer? May God challenge us this morning. There is 1,000 questions up there. We don't have answers. And yet Jesus is our the only hope. And the only way to experience that is not just doing a few times of prayer or coming to church. It's a sincere desire to follow our Lord Jesus Christ and then hear his heartbeat and know what he thinks, what he feels. Brother and sister, this is our desire. Being a Christian is being a follower of Jesus Christ. Follow him until the last day. Let's pray. Lord, when we watch this video, our hearts cry out like this girl. This world suffers too much. How can we help? How can we do something for them? Lord, if you touch our heart and respond to any kind of needs in this world, please just guide us and lead us so that we have the desire and respond to you, say, the Lord, I'm here, send me. And Lord, we know that your desire is to see us, every one of us, follow very closely to you, with you, and walk with you. And knowing that, Lord, you have the best for us, and all the hope is in you. Help us to learn how to tune our channel correct so that we will receive your signal all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Wong. I'd like to read Isaiah 6. It says, "For I am a man of unclean lips, and I have lived among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me. Go and tell this people.'" May our heart be to go to the people of the world and weep for them. I'd like to thank Pastor Wong for coming today to share. I'm Pastor Kurt. If you have any questions about the English ministry here, please come and see me.